You are listening to local and regional news produced by KMUN with help from our news partners. I'm Skylar Butenchin. It's Thursday, July 17th. This summer was set to be one of celebration for the Dylan Jude Harrell Community Center and its partners as the initial construction phase on its new facility at the Port of Ilwaco nears completion. But the loss of funds due to Washington's state budget crunch and the recent freeze of federal dollars means more uncertainty for the community center and other youth-focused organizations in Pacific County. Dylan Jude Harrell Community Center Executive Director Claire Brunke says services that have been affected or are at risk include after-school programs, summer programs, outdoor education initiatives, and free preschool for low-income families. Earlier this year, Washington legislators passed steep cuts to the state's Division of Behavioral Health and Recovery. That has also led to the loss of funding for the Wellspring Community Network, a nonprofit aimed at reducing youth substance use and strengthening relationships between the Ocean Beach School District and other key agencies on the peninsula. Over the past two decades, Wellspring has been credited in helping establish local organizations like Peninsula Poverty Response and Peace of Mind Pacific County. The ongoing summer program at Dylan Jude Harrell Community Center is not affected, but Brunke says the recent freeze could impact the center's ability to offer free after-school programs beginning this September and for the entirety of the next school year. The budget bill passed by Congress and signed into law by Trump earlier this month also does away with federal grant programs that specifically support after-school and summer programs. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Chinook Observer. Read more online at chinookobserver.com. Immigrant advocacy groups tracking deportation flights say the number of ICE detainees flying out of King County, Washington, has already surpassed last year's total. KNKX reporter Freddy Monares has more.
La Resistencia estimates so far this year more than 1,300 ICE detainees have boarded flights at King County's airport, known as Boeing Field. The group monitors flights and shares data with research organizations like the University of Washington Center for Human Rights. Angelina Godoy is the center's director. She says that information can help identify potential human rights violations.
We know that our county has a responsibility not to aid and abet those kinds of violations. At the very minimum, we need to have transparency so that independent researchers, advocates, families, attorneys can know what's happening to the people they care about.
La Resistencia says the lack of transparency puts a county out of compliance with its own laws. The advocacy groups want data on how many passengers are aboard each flight. In a statement to KNKX, a county spokesperson said the county has not received passenger information that it's requested from ICE. In Seattle, I'm Freddy Monares.
The new Tillamook Kidney Center officially began operations last week. Patients are now being transitioned to the dialysis center, ending a year-and-a-half ordeal that saw many of them being forced to travel extreme distances for treatment. The uncertainty for Tillamook dialysis patients began in January 2024, when the then-operator of the clinic, U.S. Renal Care, announced its intention to close the unit. U.S. Renal Care cited low patient numbers and said the clinic was economically unsustainable. In response, president of Tillamook Adventist Health, Eric Swanson, reached out to Dialysis Clinic Incorporated, or DCI, which is a Nashville-based nonprofit that runs dialysis centers across the country. After a long review process by the Oregon Health Authority and other safety inspections, DCI's Tillamook Kidney Center received its certification of operation on July 9th. DCI's Senior Operations Director, Sharon Marty, says that center staff are now working to transition patients from other centers to Tillamook for treatments. Currently, the center is licensed to operate 5 treatment stations, but Marty says the center is in the planning process for 2 additional treatment stations, which it hopes to have operational by December. The Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife has announced its final draft of the 2025 State Wildlife Action Plan. The plan provides a science-based roadmap to address Oregon's biodiversity crisis by identifying key threats like habitat loss, climate change, and invasive species. The plan also outlines proactive conservation actions across the state with a stronger emphasis on climate resilience and clearer pathways for public involvement. State wildlife officials say they will incorporate public comments and submit their final draft to the Fish and Wildlife Commission for review and approval at the Commission's August 15th meeting in Salem. These stories come to us through a news partnership with the Tillamook Headlight Herald, online at tillamookheadlightherald.com. Keeping your eyes open in the woods is important. That's what one woman found out near Ocean Shores, Washington. NWPB's Courtney Flatt has more.
Lisa Kimmerer likes to walk around her remote neighborhood, and on these strolls, she started to notice cedar trees that were missing branches. A ton of them. It's a crime in Washington to illegally harvest these trees. They're an important cultural tree for some Northwest tribes, like for Lummi Nation carver Vincent Feliciano Jr. He says there are traditional practices that avoid over-harvesting.
Where you don't pull bark in certain places, and you only pull so much, maybe like a hand width.
He says illegally harvesting hurts the trees that are left. Kimmerer says she started reporting people's license plates to the Washington State Department of Natural Resources when she noticed illegal activity. Officials say that's a good move, and they advise don't approach people out in the woods. I'm Courtney Flatt.
The National Weather Service in Spokane has an unprecedented number of vacancies following federal cuts early this year. NWPB's Rachel Sun reports.
Staff lists on the National Weather Service's website show at least 6 vacancies at the Spokane Regional Office. The Spokane office serves eastern Washington and northern Idaho. In addition to 24/7 forecasting, regional offices coordinate safety warnings for people in areas affected by extreme weather.
They have been quietly saving lives behind the scenes, you know, for decades.
That's Chris Crocker, chief meteorologist at KXLY in Spokane. She says she's never seen that many vacancies at that office. In an email, a National Weather Service spokesperson says the organization plans to advertise, quote, mission-critical field positions to stabilize operations across the country. I'm Rachel Sun, reporting.
The FBI and U.S. Marshals have arrested 9 Spokane demonstrators for actions during anti-immigration enforcement protests last month. As Spokane Public Radio's Owen Henderson reports, one of their fathers says the agents deployed what he called Gestapo tactics.
Bajan Mavawala II and 8 other Spokaneites have been arrested by the FBI and U.S. Marshals. Mavawala II's father, also named Bajan Mavawala, happened to be with his son when a group of agents came to arrest him early Tuesday morning. He says the agents refused to show a warrant.
You're supposed to know what you're supposed to be getting arrested for. They're supposed to inform you of your rights. They did not do that.
The elder Mavawala is a former military police officer. He says the tactics used in the arrest were meant to intimidate.
They don't care about the protests. Their goal is to scare people. Their goal is to get people compliant.
The U.S. District Attorney's Office for Eastern Washington says Mavawala II and the 8 other arrestees have all been charged for their attempts to block federal agents from taking 2 asylum seekers from Spokane to the Immigration Detention Facility in Tacoma. I'm Owen Henderson reporting.
Oregon state government employees are set to begin using generative artificial intelligence in their work. The state announced new training courses for state employees on Tuesday. Employees at all agencies will have the option to take courses around using the technology to improve government efficiency and public service. The courses mark the latest in Oregon's shift toward integrating AI into the public sector. In a statement, Governor Tina Kotek recently said it is, quote, incumbent on government to ensure new technology is used responsibly, ethically, and securely. The state is working with the company Innovate US. The nonprofit has previously reached agreements to offer similar training courses at no cost to governments in Pennsylvania and San Francisco. You're listening to news from KMUN. To hear us on the air and catch national news from NPR, tune in to 91.9 FM. Morning news begins at 7:59 every weekday. And of course, you will always be able to find today's local and regional news here at KMUN.org. To contact the KMUN News Department, email us at news1@KMUN.org. That's news, the numeral 1, @KMUN.org.